Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest podcast show on earth.
Hi, listeners. This is Patty Jazzy, and we are bringing to you live again from the World Clown Association Convention. This is Thursday, March 21st. And we've been having a lot of fun, and you know I have, and I've been bringing you on this journey this whole week. So hopefully if you're not here at the convention, this will inspire you to come next year. So start planning now because it'll come here and it'll be upon us in no time. So I have a special guest, and I know you guys love my special guests. And today I have Mr. Randy Christensen. He has such a variety arts of a background that I probably don't even know exactly everything, even though I know this gentleman. So I want to just introduce you, and because I know we have a lot to talk about. So welcome to the podcast, Randy.
Good to be here with everybody.
Yeah. So why don't we just, I really want to start from the beginning with you because I want you to tell the listeners how you got into clowning. How did your world start with that?
Yeah. Well, I was born at a very young age.
Okay.
And I was very close to my mother at that time. But then it moves on.
So we might fast forward just a bit.
I was number 5 out of 6 kids. My mom had 6 children in 8.5 years.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
So I think comedy was a mechanism.
So, yeah.
I went to college. I went to college in Minneapolis. Felt the direction I wanted to go was pastoral ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So involved in Christian ministry. You know, had a heart for God, had a heart for people. So I went to the college. It's called North Central University. When I arrived there, they put me in the wrong area of the dormitory. All right, in the men's dorm, I was supposed to be with friends on the 3rd floor. They put me on the wrong floor in the 5th floor in a room with a senior.
Oh, wow.
Who was supposed to have his own single room. And
he was delighted.
Yeah, and another freshman. So there were 3 of us in there. But he had just returned from a summer of doing summer children's camps and church VBS programs and those types of things. And he did juggling and magic and puppetry and clowning.
Uh-huh.
Now, he was self-taught, college student, just, well, we're going to do kids' programs, so let's slap on some makeup. And he said, come and be a clown with me.
Aww.
And I said, I won't be caught dead with makeup on my face. Direct quote. And I just said, no, really, I have zero interest. I don't even like kids.
Oh, good Lord, listen to you.
And that was the start of it. But one thing is, he taught me how to juggle, because I thought, well, you know, you can juggle and still be like, macho,
right?
You can still, you know, you can still be cool,
right?
And juggle. And I'd really not thought about it. I enjoyed athletics a lot. I was also a musician, though, so I was a piano player,
okay,
and also a drummer.
Oh, wow.
And so now it makes sense to me that I picked up juggling really quickly.
Yeah.
Because the ambidextrous, you know, requirements for those types of things. So I learned how to juggle, and he kept after me. And after a couple months, he said, Randy, just come with me one time, and I'll never ask you again. And I paused. I thought, oh, this is my out. And I said, okay, you promise me, if I go with you one time, you'll never ask me again. And he promised. I said, well, I'll think about it. So a couple weeks later, I said to him, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll go with you one time. You know, we'll go and goof off and whatever. Get it over with. So, of course, we went down to the, you know, professional clown shop, Salvation Army.
And, yeah.
I mean, we're college students.
Right, exactly.
Right?
You know, everyone started, and, right?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, go find something that doesn't match.
Right.
And wear that. And we did it, and then he took me my one time. He took me to the children's hospital, and that was it. because I still can remember walking into the children's hospital. I remember the first room. I remember the lights were turned off and I knocked on the door and I said, "Hey, I'm a clown. Do you want to see me juggle?" And this kid was sitting back in his bed, lights were off, IVs, right? IVs, plugged in, and he sat up and he opened his eyes. He looked at me and I just, you could hear him go, "Oh, yeah, come on in.
Aw.
I want, yeah." And he sat up in the bed and smiled at me. And I was like, okay. And I remember I juggled a little bit. For some reason, this was a number of years ago, so there was a helium balloon next to his bed on a string.
Oh.
And I used it like a basketball, you know, and just played a little bit. I don't know, there are 3 minutes. And I said, "Well, I guess I had to go." And he just, this, I don't know, 9-year-old child just said, "Thank you so much for coming and being with me."
Oh my gosh. No wonder you get hooked. Oh my God. I know. I cry at every podcast.
I know. Yeah.
You get some emotional.
And I walk, I step out and it's like, what? Okay, so we visit room to room to room to room. And this is the type of thing that's happening in every room. And at the end, the nursery is, nurses walking with us. And there's 5 of us.
Yeah.
And there's my one friend who has some experience. I mean, he's entirely self-taught, but, you know.
Yeah.
And there's 4 others that are all brand new. The first time out. Well, I'll tell you that I was... mentioned that this nurse comes and says, "Well, we'll take 2 of you into the intensive care unit."
Oh.
They said, "Oh, Randy, you go." And I'm like, "I don't have a clue what I'm doing." "No, no, no, you'll be fine. You'll be fine." And I still remember doors pushed open, swing doors up into the this intensive care unit. Then we step into this first room, and there in front of me, probably a dozen feet away, 18-month-old girl on dialysis,
ugh,
right? Tubes running in and out. Mom is standing next to her, nurse is there, and I step in and go, "Hi, I'm a clown."
Good intro.
"Want to see me juggle?" And the eyes on that 18-month-old just got real big, and...
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped in and started juggling. And since then, I've kind of come to realize it's not a great thing to do in an intensive care unit.
Probably not, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, but I didn't know.
But that was your skill.
That's all I had.
Right.
But she had a stuffed animal.
Okay.
So I stepped up and picked up the stuffed animal, and I started juggling it with my things. And she watched it go back and forth and back and forth, just in awe. Just back and forth. And I, you know, only stayed a minute or two. But while we're there, I just told her, I said, "You know, we love you. God loves you. You get well now." And I took that stuffed animal and set it down. And I turned to put, I still remember putting my hand on the door. And I heard the mom go, "Oh, look." And I turned back. And that little 18-month-old was blowing kisses to me.
Oh, my gosh. If you're not hooked by then.
And I remember stepping out into the hallway. I took about 4 or 5 steps to get away from the door, and I just leaned against the wall, and I lost it.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I'm a God-loving man, and I just remember stopping there, thinking, what just happened
right
here? What just, you know, because I didn't even like kids. And I remember standing there, and I started praying, and honestly, the first thing I prayed was this: "Dear God, forgive me for my ego that would stop me from entering into the world of hurting kids."
Right.
And then the second prayer was, "And God, if you really want me to do this, you got to change my heart because I don't even like kids." so that was the fall of 1980.
Okay. Yep.
So you can fast forward all these years.
Right.
And I have never stopped working with children And I've never stopped. So that's been my career, is working with children. I often say that, like, children's ministry, working with children, has been my career. Clowning is my hobby.
Oh.
And to use my hobby in my calling, what a beautiful thing that has been.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the clown, we learn so much about life and and working with children and I mean, it is like childlikeness, you know,
right,
in a lot of
absolutely.
Our clowning. And, and so I've learned so much from kids that applies to my clowning, and so much of clowning that just applies to working with kids. I say whether you ever put on the nose or not.
Right, right.
You know, so that's how I kicked into this thing.
So did you do your own makeup when you were...
Yes, and it was horrible.
Right,
it was
always just horrible.
Well, we did this. I mean, like I say, we're all self-taught. So actually we had this clown group. There were like 11 of us. And we were college students that have no income. And so they'd go on and buy this big tin of Stein's makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those big metal tins of Stein's? And you'd get it, and all I knew was there was white face. I mean, I didn't even know there were other kinds of clowns.
Right, me neither.
I mean, all I knew, I had seen Bozo on TV, and I had seen Ronald McDonald on TV. That's white face, right. That's all I'd ever seen. And so we all did white face. So you take that, and you scoop some out, and you start slapping it on, and you say, oh, hey, I need some. Oh, yeah, here you go. Here you go. And we'd pass it down. We'd just pass it down the row and pass it back. Oh, I need a little more. And, okay, we put it on. Never thinking.
Community makeup.
We think we're sharing makeup. No, we're not just sharing makeup. We're sharing all the bacteria and putting it back into the tin. You know, so that we have the... I think it's where COVID started.
Yeah. It's 1980. You heard it here first.
It just was... But we didn't know. But I tell you, but there's such joy in the discovery process, even learning to be a clown through this. And another crazy thing I found is this, Jazzy, that our audiences loved us. They loved us. Yeah. We didn't look good. We didn't dress impressively.
Right.
We didn't. But the thing is, one thing was that we had an authentic care for our audience.
Yes, absolutely. That's key.
And I've seen pristine looking clowns. And I'm all for looking good.
Right.
Okay. I'm all for... You only have that one chance to make a first impression. But you do that one... You know, you have that first impression. And if you don't do something in the next minute...
Right.
To actually engage your audience or start to have your character connect with them, you're going to lose them.
Right.
And that's it. We started learning how to clown. And thankfully, it was within a few years after that, I was at a convention, at the Fellowship, International Fellowship of Christian Magicians convention, which also had clowning at it and ballooning and all this stuff. And a gentleman came through just for one afternoon, and his name was Michael O'Shaughnessy. And he used to run a shop called The Circus Clowns. I say I used to because Michael has passed away a number of years ago. And I went to his one session. Michael was a former Ringling Circus clown. He did a lot of costuming shows, noses. He was known as Bingo the Clown. So if you ever heard of the Bingo Nose,
that
was Michael O'Shaughnessy. And Ringling would buy him in bulk from him and all that. He just was incredible. Well, I found out at this convention that his clown shop was in Minneapolis.
Oh. Huh.
So when I went back to college in the fall, I looked up, you know, in the Yellow Pages and found him. And I showed up at the door. And I remember I knocked on the door. It was locked, but he opened the door. And he goes,
what do you want, kid?
He was almost more of a carny than a,
than
a circus guy. And I said, well, we met at the Fellowship of Christian Magicians convention. He went, and there was that connect. Went,
come on in.
Well, come on in.
Right.
And I would go to his shop just when I had a free time during those college days. And just go in and sit and listen to him talk to people or listen to him talk on the phone. And I'd go through his wardrobe racks and I'd look at the color combinations and, oh, look, the lapels match the cuffs.
Uh-huh.
And the, you know, and just by observation, surrounding myself with this and looking through bins and looking at the prices and saying, oh, no, not, I can't afford that. And going through everything. And it was just, he was wonderful. And I remember there's times he'd step in the room and he'd say, you buying anything today? I said, you know what? I'm a college student.
Right. Say no more.
Okay. and stuff. But I'll tell you, after doing this for about a year, there was a day where a couple gentlemen came in. They were going to be a part of the Shrine Circus.
Okay.
But they had never done clowning.
Okay.
Okay. And that may be an introduction for some folks, and that's fine. But the gentleman that came in was talking with Michael, and I'm sitting there looking through photo album books, looking through, yeah, the clowns and the designs, and I'm just sitting there going through stuff, and I'm
listening
yeah. on the side, and this guy is saying, yeah, I'm going to be the best looking clown. I'm going to be the, you know, all that. And here he's never even done anything. And Michael just turned to him and said, you say you're going to be a great clown? You're going to be a great clown? No, you're not. And I kind of, you know, my eyes got a little big. Uh-huh. But I thought, just don't look up. Don't look up.
Uh-huh.
And Michael said this. He said, I'll tell you why you're not going to be a good clown. Because you think it's just about buying the stuff, slapping it on.
Right.
And clowning is so much more than just what you put on the outside. He said, you want to be a good clown? You want to be a great clown? I'll tell you how you'll become a great clown. You do what Randy's doing over here.
Oh.
And he points. And he points off to me over there. And I'm like, what? And he says, because this is how you learn to be a great clown. You surround yourself with it. You immerse yourself.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
You know, into the business. You find good people and you start rubbing up against them, right? And you just do that, and you get it through osmosis. That's how you get it. And he says, so you're not gonna be, you know, you're not gonna be nothing. And with a few more choice words.
Uh-huh.
But you know, not like Randy here. I just...
What a high compliment. Oh, he didn't even know what was going on.
You're right, right. And, you know, and I'm still working at it. But, you know, after over 40 years of learning from a lot of wonderful people and the experiences I've had, I finally feel like I'm starting to get the hang of this.
Yeah, I think you are. I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here.
Yeah. Well, I sense that with my audiences.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're the ones that let you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I sense that. So what a beautiful, rewarding thing.
So he was a little bit of a mentor to you,
yeah.
I would say. Maybe
yeah.
one of your
yes.
early on mentors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I give credit to Dave, who was that first one who got me
yeah,
involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but then to actually have somebody that Michael had been with Ringling, I think 6.5 years or something like that on the road. And I mean, he had experience. And so that helped me a lot. Then I was introduced through, once again, the International Fellowship of Christian Magicians. I met Janet Tucker. And Janet Tucker called me and said, hey, there's this new thing happening in La Crosse, Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
called Clown Camp. Oh, and we're forming this new organization called World Clown Association, which is going to be focused on education with Dr. Richard Snowberg. And so I started, you know, attending these things. I remember going even to Clown Camp the first time thinking this was amazing. It was life-changing, but I also realized I'd probably never go back there again. Because, once again...
I was just going to say, why do you say that?
Once again, I had ego issues.
Oh.
I wanted everybody to tell me how wonderful I was. Even though, you know, I'm still really at a grassroots level. And you know, I have found that if I will step back...
Yeah.
And allow myself to just humbly learn from people that are doing wonderful things. You know, so it was a big step. I saw Steve T.J. Tatter Smith there, and he did his solo show. And I can still tell you what he did. This was in the 1980s. And I remember sitting there, the show was done and everybody got up and walked out, and I had laughed and I had cried and I had laughed and I'd cried, and everybody walked out, and I just sat there. I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
I just didn't want it to end. At that place, I also met Leon McBride, Ann Buttons
yeah.
McBride,
yep.
and he was performing and different styles of clowning that would affect different audiences. And so I'm a blend of all these wonderful things that I've seen others do and just, you know, learning through the years.
Yeah, but a blend of the things that stood out in your mind that you kind of connected with.
Absolutely.
Because I could see these same performers that you did and take something totally different out of each one of them.
Because, I mean, we all have a slightly different, you know, sense of humor, that type of stuff. And
right.
So I'd say, yeah, I did, took some of this heart and I took some of this funny bone.
Right, yeah, you know, right.
These different things that blend together and become my own unique character.
Who said this wouldn't be entertaining?
So, speaking of characters, how many different characters do you perform as?
Yeah. Well, I used to travel on the road full time. And so, honestly, I got tired of doing the same character all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to do something different. I did, it was the white face, but then it became more of a, it's certainly far more refined once I met Michael and learned about, you know, how do you actually look good and all of that. And so that character was more impressive. Okay. You know, white face, he's in charge.
Right.
You know, he's...
Right.
But I think I probably do stupid characters the best. Maybe it's probably more natural for me. But I found all the characters I liked the sense of discovery. So I'll say I did the white face.
Okay.
Then I moved into doing this hobo character that has very august characteristics.
Yes. Yep.
Which is really fun because I get to play both ways.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
Because I can do the heartfelt pathos that you feel in an Emmett Kelly and a stuff.
Yeah.
Or I can go another direction and just do full-out stupid slapstick. That type of thing. More of a circus-y type feel to when I do that character. And then I will say, after clowning for about 15 years, I met Arthur Pedler.
Oh, yeah.
And I was able to spend a significant amount of time with him. He became a dear friend. We actually performed together in England and also in the United States, different times, different places. And what he would do is his clowning was very thought-based, but yet very skill-oriented.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, unicycling and all
playing
all
his instruments.
Beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
But many people don't know that off on the side, he would do... impersonations, renditions of famous British music hall presenters.
Okay.
And so he had memorized their scripts. And he would do these for special events at different places around different communities and clubs and all this stuff. So he just put on like a nose and a hat and a pair of glasses and he would become Old Bill.
Okay.
And Old Bill was a cartoon character from World War II. In the London newspapers. Oftentimes, I believe that was even Winston Churchill that gave Old Bill credit for helping the British people get through World War II because he brought comic...
Right, relief to...
Relief, yeah, to the terrible things. So he would get up and quote the Old Bill things.
Oh,
and I saw that, and when I heard that, I was just like, oh, and so I've done a third character... called Oxford P. Nuts. Oxford P. Nuts. I always say he's kind of a cross between Ronald Reagan and Victor Borga.
Right. Oh, my God.
With a little bit of Red Skelton thrown in there.
Okay.
Because I do play piano, and I do mess up, and it is comedy. But this character, it's like 90% is memorized.
Okay.
Scripted and memorized.
Yeah.
And so it's almost more like a one-man off-Broadway stand-up show with a unique character. This is the old grandpa, that uncle that you don't know. You know, is he starting to have Alzheimer's,
right.
or is he just pulling your leg?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, usually the first thing I say when I walk in is, "Well, I'm sorry I'm late, but well, actually, I think this is probably the earliest I've ever been late."
There you go. You've already set your
your
they're ready.
Yeah, your audience's expectation for your character. That's awesome. Yeah. It's brilliant. But you got to think about that.
Yeah. So very not very slow moving.
Yeah.
I had a friend that said to me, Micah the Clown, the white face, is probably who you really would like to be. Very impressive, uh-huh. and smart, and said Oxford Peanuts is probably who you're gonna be.
Right.
Simon is really who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I sense that.
Yeah.
But I also know that I can perform Oxford as long as I ever want to. There's no slapstick.
Right. Yeah, well,
there's no extreme physicality.
Right.
I'll be able to continue on and clown.
So what led you to developing the character? Has it always been in the back of your mind? Did you see a piece of costuming that...
Are you talking about the old man?
Yeah.
The old man? Well, seeing...
Or even Simon or whoever.
Seeing Arthur. Arthur was a big influence on that. And I loved Victor Borge.
Yeah,
I wasn't using any of that musicality in my my performances. And I understand we need to allow our character to investigate and discover and grow and be multifaceted. I agree with that. So many people, I don't recommend trying to do three characters.
Yeah.
Or even two.
Right.
I find oftentimes people will do maybe multiple looks, but they're still the same character, really.
Yeah, right.
They're really the same character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think being exposed to watching Red Skelton.
Right.
Watching the greats, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin. You know, the pathos of a chaplain and the seriousness of him trying to accomplish his task while the world is falling apart.
Right.
Is hilarious and inspiring at the same time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of these characters, you get to choose, if somebody calls and says, you know, I want you to do a performance, you base it on your audience or the venue, that kind of thing? Or do they request a certain?
Yeah, most people don't even
know that you
know what to, or okay. know what to ask. They say a clown.
Okay.
You know, I want a clown. So I try to fit it, of course, to who that audience is going to be. A children's party is different than going and doing something for a university.
Right, absolutely.
The Oxford Peanuts, as I stated, is scripted. So I have three main shows.
Okay.
There's not a lot of improv happening in there. I mean, I'm ready to respond to my audience.
Right.
But it's not improv.
Right.
So one is a patriotic program. And I've done this for Memorial Day weekend, for the 4th of July, Flag Day.
Yeah,
those specific times. I do one which is a Christmas program.
Okay.
Home for the Holidays.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been precious. And then I have one which is about reaching out into the world of children. And it's for people that are doing that, working in daycares or schools or children's ministry in a church or those types of things. And it's really about the heart of children and that. Can I tell you, can I do a piece?
Yes, please. Love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Oxford Peanuts. When I was a little child, I was told for quite a while, grow up, young man, grow up. And then I stood to be waist high and still was told by those older than I, grow up, young man, grow up. Well, I stretched my legs and lifted my head. I squeezed my waist and pulled on my ears, and still I found I was nowhere near to growing up. Oh, my growing up. Well, now I'm old and I love the Lord. And I found that one can't afford to waste one day, whether young or old. For in the good book it says, big and bold, grow young, old man, grow young. You know, for even Jesus said, to enter the kingdom, you must become as a child. He didn't say get more mature, become more sophisticated. No, he said you need to grow young and become like a child.
That's beautiful. You must have a quite an... Is it easy for you to memorize things?
Well, I've written most of these things, so I think that helps me initially.
Yes, yeah.
And I do continue to work on memorizing them.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd rather have them memorized if a show is booked than let it go.
Right.
And not... So this is when... That's when I go on walks and when I exercise and when I... That's what I'm going through in my mind. I'm going through the various pieces that I may use. Because I'd rather keep it than lose it and try to get it back.
Right. Oh, yeah. Then you're like reinventing the wheel again, starting all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you love the process of creating a character, developing a show, that part, or just as much as performing? Or is that like painstaking, hard to do?
Oh, I would say I love the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love the creative process. And I really believe that clowns, you know, are artists, you know, in that we are creating. You know, it's that creative process that we have innately inside of us. And true artists have to express themselves through art.
Right.
I mean, this is why Red Skelton didn't just... clown, you know, he also sang and he composed and he painted,
right?
And he, right?
Yeah. You,
because artists have to create,
right?
And so I love the creative process. I love creating and picturing what the show is going to be and working towards it. But absolutely, I'm there for my audience.
Yeah,
it's the connection. It's you know, that's I think what we live for.
Well, in my experience, just watching you perform last night, or International Talent Show, I'm truly just so engrossed in your character and how you get the audience with you and on your journey, and just what are you going to do next? The kids were talking to you up front, and you, like a pro, you were... responding, because sometimes people miss some of the best opportunities because they don't decide to remark or reply to anybody's saying anybody, you know, responding to somebody that says something. And that's such a kind of a very precious moment that you can get, not just for that child or that person, but the you almost capture the entire audience and more endearing to your character when you do that. Yeah. And you did it. I was like, you are just amazing to watch do what you do. Just everything's purposeful. You've thought everything through. You block out everything. It's just precision, but you make it look effortless.
Mm.
It is amazing.
Thank you.
I hate to be gloating, but I just love it.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
You spend so much time.
I used to frustrate myself if my performance wasn't perfect. I'd go home and beat myself up about it.
Yeah.
Right? And I've grown enough. There's a beautiful scripture that says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. But I also believe there's an application that if I humble myself in the sight of my audience, they will lift me up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me entering into the world of the child.
Yeah.
You know, I can humble myself, enter into the world of the child and become playful.
Right.
Because I'm not there to accomplish my task. I'm there to build relationship with my audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something very different. Even you think about circus performance.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not there to display my talent. I'm there to build a relationship with my audience and invite them in to the wonder of discovery that I am having on stage. And that means that I am in the moment.
Yeah.
At that moment.
Yeah.
And because I'm in the moment, at the moment, I can respond to anything in the moment and bring it into my world.
Right.
Or release it, you know, if it's going to start to hinder
right.
me moving
right.
forward in this experience.
But I feel like the only way you can get to that point and level is by just knowing what you're doing. You know what, you have it down.
Yes.
Like you have practiced and practiced. It is like a well-oiled machine. You don't have to even think about it. So now, because your brain's not thinking about what you have to do,
yes,
and move, now you can open yourself up to these people. And that's the magic right there. I mean, what we
yes
saw, what that's the goal.
And the work happens before you walk on stage.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
Because you master the technique, and then you can use it to connect with your audience.
Right.
Yeah, rather than, and I just, as part of this, need to say that the numerous people that have influenced me through the years, I mentioned, some, you know, video and stuff of Buster Keaton and all these folks, but spending time, I did professional mime training at Goldston Johnson School of Mime. I went and took dance classes, mm-hmm, just so I could feel like I can move on stage and not trip over myself.
Right.
Right? And just the multi-disciplines. And then it was revolutionary meeting Avner Eisenberg, Avner the Eccentric. And I was been able to train with him different specific times. And he helps me understand how I need to be in the present also.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of his instruction has been amazing. And training with others through the years. And we keep learning. And I think the amazing thing is not just learning the technique, but learning how to get to the core of who we are.
Yeah.
And being able to be vulnerable enough.
There you go.
To share it with your audience and invite them in. So.
Lean in and listen closely. You will soon realize there is one clown listening to two others on a podcast.
So I know I don't want to keep you any longer, but I do have one last question. Do you have anything in your sights down in the future that you're looking to do anything different, or you have any other goals that you want to do, or you just are happy doing what you're doing?
I'm enjoying being in the moment.
Yeah.
Meaning that each audience I get to be with, I'm enjoying each and every audience. Because, I mean, as you know, we go by seasons because here comes the summer season, and
right,
there are
yeah
some fairs and festivals and things where I'll be performing, and I just look forward to that. I'm trying to be a person that also gives back and encourages those that are entering into the world of clowning. So I will continue to write. I will continue to try to develop resources that help other people. I enjoy teaching.
Yeah.
I've ran 15 Next Step workshops, 5-day workshops. I've taught at almost every major clown training event in the United States over the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've ran my own conventions, but everything seems to be moving more online.
Yeah.
People don't want to pay the money to travel across the country to stay at a place to pay a hotel bill. I would be happy to do more training with folks, but I think more of it probably is going to become, you know, Zoom-based and
okay
online-based, though I do want to just help offer things, you know, whenever I can. I do want to do some other international work. I've been in 9 different countries and
yeah
have performed in
nice
9 different places,
uh-huh,
spots like that, and how wonderful it is with the different ethnicities and approaches. And that's where the silent clowning, as you
absolutely
know, can connect in every culture.
Right.
Children laugh at the same things, you know, in Ecuador as they do in Bangladesh.
Uh-huh.
It's an amazing connecting point. You know, this nose, this little nose that seems to connect
uh-huh
around the world. So I hope to do some more of those opportunities through our future years also.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. You know, just on a personal note, I just love the fact that you have such a golden heart for this, mm-hmm, as do I. But
yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been I think I've cried every single podcast I've done, guys, because I just picked the right people to interview that really are near and dear to my heart. So I've got another one or two more interviews to do before the end of this convention. So thank you for hopefully taking me on this, or I'm taking you on this journey, but thank you for being with me on this journey. And we will just talk to you tomorrow on the next podcast edition at the World Clown Association in Orlando, Florida. Thank you. And Gunky, we miss you. I wish you were here to do this podcast with me. Take care.
Share joy.
Share joy.